left off in the previous year, introducing the concept of Sveik Sveika. Rambam says Ksubas and Neftas tells us that even though its starting rule is that Sveika the Rice is Lachumra, any Sveikas that we have, whenever it deals with the Rice Nikidim, we always have to be Machmir for. Whenever you have a Sveik Sveika doubled out, so then it's going to be Mutter. So we had a big Machlekes and we've shown him what the nature of the Sept is all about. The Gemara never explains to us how Chazal figured out this idea of Sveik Sveika. So according to the Rambam, it's based on the fact that since all Sveikas are really Mutter in the Torah anyway, so any Suffolk is by definition only a Derabanan. When we have a second Suffolk, that becomes like a Suffolk Derabanan Lekula. That's what the Achranim wrote with Dasa Rambam. And the Rashba, the Tshuva writes, no, that Sveik is based on Rov. Since there are four logical outcomes, there are four blackboard possibilities as to what the halacha should be, since three out of the four possibilities point in the direction of being the kula, that's also considered to be rov, and that's covered by the halacha of Achram Mahatma. So no matter how you slice it, bein lefi Aram, bein lefi Rash, but there is a heter called Sveik Sveika, which appears to be, again, pretty much explicit in the Gemara. There's one day in the Rishonim, the Ra'ah, that argues that the Gemara doesn't really mean it, there really is no din of Sveik Sveika. We assume the halacha that there is, all the other Rishonim, right, there is a din of Sveik Sveika, and in Shulchan Aruch it's in Kuvir, that's a double poshut. The Shach spent the pages and pages assuming that there is a Sveik Sveika, and that's where we're going to work from here on in, with the assumption that there is such a concept of Sveik Sveika, either based on Sveika Dervam Kula, based on Rov. But we have to analyze this principle of Sveik Sveika and really understand what some of the parameters there are, because this principle of Sveik Sveika is going to become potentially useful in many, many different areas of Halacha. So we're not going to do justice to the Sukkah of Sveik Sveika, learn all the Kolonim of Sveik Sveika, but at least we'll try to highlight, I wanted to, some of the more basic, fundamental principles that govern Sveik Sveika, and particularly try to show the Maisa how some of these principles are going to play out. So there is the Gemara in Ksubas Naftas, which is, of course, the source for the entire principle of Sveik Sveika. Much of the discussion of Sveik Sveika in the Rishonim, the Poskim, is going to revolve around the sugyas. Let's go back to that sugya for a moment, just familiarize ourselves with the details of that sugya before we go try to analyze the principles of Sveik Sveika. So the Gemara was discussing yesterday's Pasha, the Gemara was discussing a question of an Eishes Ishes Zinsa. We know the halacha is that if you have a married woman who is Mazana Beratzam, Tachas Baila, if she was Mazana when she was married, so then she is clearly a suah to her husband in a Torah. There's no question about that. That's part of Pasha Sota. The Chiddush of Pasha Sota is that even if you don't know that she was Mazana, that's sometimes a problem. But if you know for a fact that she was Mazana, then she's a Surah Min HaTorah, it's an Isra Seh, and it's a lot, a whole story in the beginning of Masechah Sota. So there's no question about that. If you know Bavados that she was Mazana, she's a Surah Labayla. The question is, Gemara discusses the stuff test. The person gets married, and he knows that there was an interim of time between the Kedusha and the Nisuin. In the olden days, they would get the Kedushas, and then they would wait up to a year for the Nisuin. And now, on the morning after the Nisuin, he realizes that she's not a Besula. So obviously, something happened at some time. The question is, when did something happen? So he doesn't know. So she doesn't have any amanus anyway to say what happened or didn't happen. She's a Baldova, she's an Eidech, whatever it is. So we're trying to reconstruct history. We're trying to figure out when exactly she was Mazana. So the Gemara says there were two different possible scenarios. One possibility is that she was Mazana before the Kedushin. One possibility she was Mazana after the Kedushin. If she was Mazana after the Kedushin, then we're potentially in a problem of an Eishes Ishes Zinsa. If she was Mazana before the Kedushin, so that may affect the Ksuba, that she was a Psula, no, but it's not going to affect the permissibility to her husband. So the Gemara says, that's a suffix. So we don't know, it's a suffix whether she's an Eishes Ishes Zinsa or not. But that in and of itself is not going to solve the problem. That would only be a suffix Yechad. That would be a Sveik of the Raisa, the Chumra. The Gemara says, we can introduce a second suffix into this equation. Maybe it was Baratza, maybe it was Ba'ines, maybe she was raped. So if she was forced to be Mazana, so that doesn't affect the status. We just read this yesterday. For he alone is Pasa. Somebody just told me a Shiloh. It was not Shiloh, it's just wrong. It's not even a Tobit Vah Mishnah, it's a Tobit Vah Pasa. So Rob was telling me the other day that a woman was Nansa, not Nishis Kodesh, a woman was Nansa, and somebody told her, the rabbi told her that she's not allowed to stay with her husband anymore. So he says, it's a pasuk in Chumash. He says, v'hilon is pasuk. It says, black and white in the Chumash, that she's muteris to her husband. It's not an ishes kohen. So v'hilon is pasuk. So comes the Gemara and says in Ksubas Naftas, that if the woman is Nensa, then she's also muteris labayla. So now we have two independent sveikas here that are converging together. It's a suffix tachtav, suffix in a tachtav. Maybe this nus was tachtam, namely after she was married. Maybe this nus was ena tachtam, before she got married, before the kiddushin. And even im tim talam, it was tachtav, maybe it's for oinus, maybe it's for ratzoid. So that's the official sfeik. That is the sfeik of Chazal, safik tachtav, safik ena tachtav, safik oinus, safik for ratzoid. So comes the Gemara and says, you're right. 99% of the time, that sfeik will be effective, and we will be able to permit the woman to remain labayla, even though it's pasal pasuch mitzvah, even though we know for a fact that she was mezana, she had to be at some time with somebody, but that in of itself will be able to be mounted based on the sfeik. Comes to the Gemara and says, every once in a while you can have a complicated case where one of those sfeikas is going to fall by the wayside. So one of the cases that the Gemara constructs where the sfeik will not be effective is, let's say, kibbo ba'viya kedushin pachas mebaz gimel. Let's say this girl who's standing in front of us in Beis Din now, she's 15 years old, she's 20 years old, whatever it was, when this Shaila is now coming to Beis Din, it was a very long Kiddushin. So, but the Kiddushin originally was at the time when the girl was under the age of 3. So we know the din is that the father can be mekabel Kiddushin for his daughter under the age of 3. He can be mekabel Kiddushin for her for the day she's born. According to the Rambam, even before she's born, she can be mekabel Kiddushin. So the father can be mekabel Kiddushin for her up until she becomes a begaris, until she turns to be the age of 12 and a half. So Hakam Ma'askita, we know for a fact that he was Makabah Kedusha when she was under the age of 3. So why is that important? Because any bia that happened before the age of 3, we assume Basulah Chosun. That's not going to show up as a Maisa bia. Both halachically, any bia that took place before the age of 3 is meaningless, as well as physically, the Gemara assumes that any bia that happened before the age of 3 is not going to be discernible anyway. So therefore, when this husband now realizes Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, when he says, my wife had a Maisa bia with somebody, we know for a fact that it happened after she was 3 years old. But we know she was already Mekudeshes after the age of 3, before the age of 3. So if we know for a fact she was Mekudeshes before the age of 3, and we know that the Maisa bia happened after the age of 3, we just took one of those fakers and threw them out the window. That means there's no Sufik Tachtav, Sufik Yira Tachtav anymore. We know for a fact that the bia was Tachtav. It had to be Tachtav, because we know it was after 3, and she's been Mekudeshes before the age of 3. So we've now destroyed one of those fakers. Once we've done away with one of those fakers, we're only left with one suffix. The suffix is Shem Be'onah, Shem Be'ratzon. That's very nice, but that's not going to help her, because one suffix is suffix the Reis of the Chumrah. So the question is, you're right. That when the husband says Pesach Tzuluch Matzasi, when the husband says that his wife was not a Besula, and we're trying to figure out when she was Mezana, normally we could salvage the marriage by saying Sfeik Sfeika. But in the one crazy, wild case that she was Kibbutz by Kedushin, Bachel Be'baz Gimel, there is no sfeik to speak of, because the sfeik tachtav was just removed. Sfeik tachtav, sfeik tachtav was just removed from the equation. That's the mefarshik work super stuff test. So comes Tyson and asks the kash. Comes Tyson and says, no, it's not true. It's true that the sfeik tachtav, sfeik ena tachtav doesn't apply in this case, but I'll create a new sfeik. Listen to the new sfeik, says Tyson. I'll outspot Chazal. I'll make my own sfeik. The girl standing in front of us, she's the age of 15, whatever it is, she's standing in front of us, and we're trying to figure out what were the circumstances of this nus that took place. So, something doctor is not on the charts anymore. That's ready too late. Here's the sfeik, says the brand new sfeik doesn't exist in Chazal. Maybe it was ba'ines, maybe it was baratzon. And even if it was baratzon, maybe it was before she turned bas mitzvah. Why should that be important before she turned bas mitzvah? Because the Gemara says, Pita Ketana Einesim. Gemara says that anything that a girl does under the age of bas mitzvah, she's a la bas das. So even if it was Pita means that she was seduced, she was talked into it, she really did agree. The Gemara says, doesn't matter. Even if she agreed, but since she was under the age of 12, she was a la bas das, it's considered to be Einesim also. So that's the sfeik. Maybe she was raped, and maybe she wasn't raped. And even if she wasn't raped, even if she went along with it, quote-unquote, willingly, well, maybe it happened before the age of 12. Now she's 15, we don't know what happened. Maybe it happened before the age of 12. And before the age of 12, even if it was willingly, api aloha, it was unwillingly. So that's the new sfeik of Taisus. Taisus says, forgetting about the sfeik of tachtav and tachtav, because that's not going to work in this case. Let's create our own sfeik, sheba ba'ayna shem baratzon, and even if tumtula baratzon, sheba Ketana, and when it was a Ketana, Pita Ketana Einesim. So Tosfos says, the answer to this question is that this sfeik does not meet the criteria of sfeik. Why? Says Tosfos, this is what's called a Shem Echad. What does Shem Echad mean? Shem Echad means that, yes, there are theoretically two different sfeikas. Yes, there are theoretically four boxes on the board, but both sfeikas are just saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing in different ways. Why is it that Pita Ketana is mutter? Why is it that if a girl, a married girl under the age of 12, is mezana beratzah, Why is she mutaris lavayla? The answer is because it's be'ainis. Listen to the words. Pitik tana einisim. Since she's a la bazdas, so she's not doing it willingly, it's as if she was raped. Apialach, it's as if she was forced. So says Tosfos, what's the sfeik sfeika? The sfeik sfeika is maybe it was beratzon and maybe it was be'ainis. And what's the second suffix? Maybe it was beratzon, maybe it was be'ainis. There's just two different ways of describing einis. Onus means either physically being raped. Onus means under the age of 12 being talked into it. That's also a din of onus. So says Tosfos, that doesn't qualify as a sfeik sfeika. That's the same suffix, just restated, repackaged in a different, slightly different nuance. A sfeik sfeika means when you have two sfeikas and each one is a separate, independent matter for a very different reason. Like the sfeik sfeika of Ksuba Staftes, the real sfeik sfeika in the Gemara. Maybe she's muteris because it's onus. And even if it was Baratzon, maybe she's Muteres because she wasn't married. So not being married is one heter. The fact that a woman who's not married is Mazan, is Muteres to her subsequent husband, that's one heter. The fact that a woman is Ba'ines, a married woman is raped, that's a different heter. They have nothing to do with each other. Those are two separate independent heterim that happen to converge together to create a bona fide sfeik sfeika. But when the sfeik sfeika is just restating the same thing in just different packaging, maybe she's Ratzon, maybe she's Onus, and maybe she's Ratzon, maybe she's Onus, that's a classic violation of the principle called sfeik sfeika b'shem echad. So it says Tosfos in Ksubas of Tesef and Aleph, that's the reason why the sfeik sfeika is not acceptable in the case when kibul ba'aviyah, kiddushin brachos m'bez kibul. Famous sheet in Tosfos in Ksubas of Tesef. Do all the Rishonim agree to this Tosfos? So the Gemara doesn't say, the Gemara never mentions this concept of sfeik sfeika b'shem echad not being good. Tosfos invented it to solve this problem. The Rambam wasn't really posed with this problem. The Rambam wasn't concerned with this problem because the Rambam happens to paskin that Pita Ketan is not Einis. Happens to be a sugya Maseches Yevamos. Tosfos is assuming that the conclusion of the Gemara is that Pita Ketan is Einis, and the Rambam concludes that the Rambam claims the conclusion of the Gemara is Pita Ketan is Lav Einis. So according to the Rambam, who says Pita Ketan Lav Einis, Tosfos Kasha never got off the ground. If Tosfos Kasha never got off the ground, we have no reason to believe that the Rambam accepted the principle of Shem Echad. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I have no idea. But the Rambam doesn't say a word about it. So the Rambam is inconclusive whether he accepts the principle of Shem Echad or not. But Tosfos does.
Tosfos, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what would his reason be?
Because it's honest. Let's say you have a married girl. She's 10 years old. She's already married. And we know 100% fact that she was talked into being Mazana, and she did it willingly. So Tosfos says she's still Mutaris Labayla, because that's called Oinus, because she's not a Bazdas. This week's Pasha, yesterday's Pasha, he loaned his Pasha.
At least the Rambam would
be Tosfos. No, you said according to Tosfos. According to the Rambam, she's a Surah, right. According to the Rambam,
if she's married, if
she's a Surah, right. That's right. If she did it willingly, right. If she did it willingly, so then we consider she's old enough to know what's going on. And Mustafa, even the Rambam would agree. If she's 3 years old, she doesn't know what's going on. Maybe the Rambam would agree. But the Rambam holds that if she knows what's going on, that's called Pita Ketana Oinus. Pita Ketana is not Oinus, according to the Rambam. So Kopanim, we're going to work with Shita Tosfos. So everything we're going to say from here on in is assuming that Tosfos is writing it. We don't know the Rambam disagrees, which is guessing that the Rambam may disagree. But Tosfos says that for sure, and all the later posts can quote Tosfos, and that's all of the Sfeik Sfeika are governed with this rule. You have to be very, very careful before you invoke Sfeik Sfeika to make sure that it doesn't violate this principle called Shem Echad. Within this principle of Shem Echad, it becomes a major, major discussion how precisely do you define the principle of Shem Echad. So much of the discussion revolves around the statement of the Tumas Hadeshen. So the Tumas Hadeshen, before we get to the Ruchas Nidabah, the Tumas Hadeshen has the following Chiddush. This was a common shayla in the olden days, until not all that long ago. There was issues of Bechor Behemoth Tahora. We know the halacha is that if a Jew owns a cattle, a Jew owns a sheep, so then the firstborn animal, firstborn male, Hazorcha Taktish Shem Lekecha. That din of Bechor applies even in Chutz La'aretz. We pass in Halacha that it applies even in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore we have a problem in our Torah on our hands. If you have a Jewish farmer who's having an animal, firstborn animal being born, so then they're going to have Kedusha in our Torah, and you're not allowed to work with them, you're not allowed to shech them out of the base of Mikdash, you have to wait till they get a mum. It becomes a big, big balagan. So therefore we follow the practice that appears in the beginning of Maseches Bechoros, where the Gemara says if you live at a time, there's no base of Mikdash, so you can't bring it as a korban anyway, so what do you gain by having Bechor Behemoth Tahorah running around your farm? You might as well circumvent the halacha in the first place and sell part of the mother, sell part of the fetus before the baby is born, sell it to a goy, and if a goy owns part of the behemoth, then there's not going to be a din of Kedushas Bechor Behemoth Tahorah. That has been the practice for at least the days of the Gemara, at least 1800 years, that's been the practice amongst Jewish farmers. commerce to sell the Bechor Behemoth Tahora before it's born, either to sell the mother or to sell part of the Ubar, to circumvent this entire problem. When Rabbi Weil was here, came to me, Menachem Aval, so we were talking about, we were roommates first year in YU, so we were mentioning how our parents had come together to the dorm the very first day. So when we started talking about that, so Rabbi Weil reminded me about the Shtar Mechiris Bechor Behemet Tahor for his father. His father was a cattle dealer in upstate New York, so when he came to YU, so he learned this halacha about Bechor Behemet Tahor, and they wrote up a Shtar Mechira for his father. So he said he still has the copy. He said he's going to bring it to me afterwards. He still has the copy. It was written up by Alpert Zatzal and Rabbi Shechta. The two of them wrote up the Shtar Mechiris Bechor Behemet Tahor for his father's business to get out of this problem. So anyway, getting back to the story. So every once in a while, you run into a question of a suffix b'chor. Let's say I'm in a cattle business, on a farm, whatever it is, and I buy an animal from a goy. I buy a female animal from a goy, and I have no idea whether this animal gave birth or not. So I have no idea whether it had a baby in the past. If it had a baby in the past, so then whatever animal is going to be born subsequently, I'm not a problem b'chor b'chor b'chor. But if it didn't give birth, then I have a problem on my hand. So I don't know, I'm not sure. So there's a whole sugi, the whole third parak of Masechet Becheres, Halakeach Behem Yaakov. So the Gemara tries to give different simanim. How can you tell whether the animal gave birth or not? It's not so poshut. And maybe the veterinarians now, they'll do an ultrasound, they'll figure out whether this mother gave birth at one time before. But in the days of Chazal, it was hard to figure it out. So the Gemara gives you all kinds of different simanim about, is it nursing, is it not nursing, is this part developed, that part developed, all kinds of different cheshbonos to try to figure out. Sometimes you run into a situation where there's no way to prove. So I really don't know. So now, if an animal is going to be born, that's going to be a suffix b'chor. So b'chor is a kedusha deraisa, it's going to be a problem on the level of deraisa. So comes the Tumas Hadesh and says, what's the following case? If a person bought such an animal from a goy, and he never bothered selling it back to the goy, so we have a real b'chor behemet Torah issue on our hands, he's got this animal sitting in his barn, and lo and behold, the animal gives birth, and it gives birth, bad news, it gave birth to a boy. So now you have a suffix, is it deraisa? So you're stuck with the shadows of Meila and shadows of Eilas, as you serve deraisa, being Nenef, being Gozes, of Shechti, and a lot of problems on the level of deraisa in your hands with this animal. But says it was a deshin, that's not exactly what happened. What happens is as follows. The animal gave birth, the suffix, Mivakaris is called, this potentially mother of Bechor gives birth, but she gives birth to two boys. She gives birth to twins. I wasn't sitting there in the barn where the twins were born, and lo and behold, the twin boys. So now what's the din? So the evidence is only one of them has kedushas b'chor. Not both of them. They weren't born together. And even if they would be born at the same time, that's the shayla l'chayes atanoim. If an animal gives birth, mamar simultaneous. But here we assume that one of them was born, either, I don't think we call them Reuben or Shimon, I don't know. We call them good names. Good animal names, I don't know. What? Adam.
Betsy and Bob.
Betsy and Bob. Well, no, Betsy. We don't know Betsy. They're both men. So, okay.
Ben and Bob.
Ben and Bob. Okay, so Ben and Bob are born. Ben and Bob are sitting in the barn right now, and one of them may have kedushas b'chor. We're not sure either of them have kedushas b'chor, because maybe the mother gave birth already 3 years ago to a different animal, to Bill. So we have Ben and Bob, and we're not sure what to do with Ben and Bob. So he comes into his Hadesh and says, we could take one of them, we'll take Ben, and we'll say, Ben, you're okay. We're gonna use Ben. We're gonna shecht Ben. We're gonna work with Ben. We're gonna share the sheepish Ben. Everything is okay. Ben is hunky dory. Why is Ben okay? Says the Tumas Hadesh, because it's a sfake sfaker. What's a sfake sfaker? Maybe the mother, maybe Betsy, the mother, gave birth 3 years ago. So maybe we have no b'chor shayla here altogether. And even if Timsalomi that she didn't give birth 3 years ago, well, maybe Bob is the b'chor. So we're going to let you use Ben. We can't let you use both. That would be a tat and sat. That would be worse than David Minchi if the plague. We can't let you use both of them, but we'll pick one of them arbitrarily. We'll pick one and we'll say that we're going to let you use one of them because you have a sfek on your hands. That suffik yechod is that maybe this animal gave birth 3 years ago, so we have no b'chor in our hands. And even if Timsaloma that this animal didn't give birth 3 years ago, well, maybe it was the other one that was the b'chor. Says it to Mr. Deshin, good, that's the din. So comes it to Mr. Deshin and asks himself, wait a second. This is the greatest possible violation of Shem Echod. What's the suffix? It's the same exact suffix, just reset and repackaged. It's only suffix echad here. The suffix echad is, maybe this animal gave birth before Ben was born. So how are you saying that? I'm saying that one of two ways. Maybe the animal gave birth before Ben was born 3 years ago. Maybe the animal gave birth before Ben was born 3 minutes ago. So all you did is just reset the same suffix in different wordings. It's not a different suffix. It's not like the case of Ksubas Taftaz, where maybe she's muteris because it's onus or ratzon, or maybe she's muteris because it's suffik tachta, suffik ena tachta. Those are two separate independent spakas that happen to be converging together. Here, you're just saying over the same tizmin. Maybe the animal is mutter because the mother gave birth before, and maybe the animal is mutter because the mother gave birth before. When and who it gave birth to, anafkamin ladina, whether Bill was the Bechor, whether Ben was the Bechor, whether Bob was the Bechor, it's the same exact suffix. Maybe this animal is not a Bechor. Maybe the mother gave birth before him. So says the Tumas Hadash, and that seems to be a classic violation of Shem Echad. And Taisin Ksubas Daftes told us, Shem Echad doesn't work. But the Rambam, we don't follow the Rambam. Nobody follows the Rambam. We're not even sure the Rambam followed the Rambam. So how do you get around the problem of Shem Echad? So comes the Tumas Hadash and develops a corollary, or really a limitation, to the rule of Taisin. Says the Tumas Hadeshim, the principle of Tosfos of Shem Echad is valid. That's a valid principle. It's a valid limitation to Sfeik Sfeika. But you have to be very careful before you call something a Shem Echad. Says the Tumas Hadeshim, Kishmoy Kenu, Shem Echad means that the two Sfeikas are mamish the same. They're saying the same thing, just in fancy different lashon, but they're really coming to call the same heter. And the extent of each one of those materim is the exact same. Means whatever you're trying to accomplish with one of the sfeikas, you're accomplishing the exact same with the other suffix. There is no difference whatsoever with the outcome of suffix number one or suffix number two. Suffix number one and suffix number two are mamish identical twins. They have everything in common. They're shem echad, they're accomplishing the same, the scope and the limitation of the heter are the same. That's called the shem echad. So let's tell a marshal, in the case of the Eishes Ish, the case of the Kibub HaKadush and Fachas Subas Gimel, which was Taisa's original model of shem echad. What were the two sfeikas that Tosfos labeled as a Shem Echad? Maybe it's Be'onis, maybe it's Beratzon. Maybe it was she was a Ketana, Pita, Ketana, Onis. What are the halachic outcomes of a woman being Ne'ensa? The halachic outcome is one. She's Muteris Labayla. That's all there is right no more. That is the halachic outcome. What is the halachic outcome of Pita, Ketana, Onis? That's called Onis, and therefore she's Muteris Labayla. That is the halachic outcome. There is no difference. They're restating the same heter, the same basic matter of ones, and the halachic outcomes are mamash identical. That is classic Shem Echad. Over here, says the Tumas Hadeshim, the outcomes are slightly different. Let's analyze the two sfeikas by the case of the Bechor again. What would the ramifications be if this animal gave birth 3 years ago? Let's say there was another baby here 3 years ago that we don't know about. What would the halachic outcomes be? The halachic outcome would be that both of these twins are mutter. You would be able to use both animals. If you knew Baruch HaKodesh, that this animal gave birth 3 years ago, and there's no Bechor in this barn right now, so both animals would be mutter. What are the halachic outcomes to say that one of the twins was the Bechor and the other wasn't? You can only be mutter one of them. If the reason why being mater, the second twin, is because maybe its brother came first, so you can only be mater the second one, you can't be mater the first one. You obviously can't be mater both of them. So that's a different halachic outcome. So true vis-a-vis the animal that I'm pulling out of the barn. I'm pulling out, I forgot whether it's Bill, Bob, Ben, one of them. Ben that I'm pulling out, we're going to be mater Ben as a sfeika. Maybe the animal gave birth 3 years ago, and even if it didn't give birth 3 years ago, maybe it gave birth to Bob 3 minutes ago. So it's true vis-a-vis Ben, it's the same halachic outcome, but vis-a-vis the whole picture, it's not. There's a different halachic outcome, because if the heter is based on maybe it gave birth 3 years ago, then both animals walk away being mutter. If the heter is based on the fact that it gave birth to the brother 3 minutes ago, then only one is mutter, but the brother remains also. So comes the Tumas Hadeshim and says, that's not called Shem Echad. That's the limitation of Shem Echad. So here we're building on the principle of Shem Echad. Let's not forget, Shem Echad is not in the Gemara. Shem Echad was Tosfos's solution to the dilemma of why isn't it a Sfeik Sfeik in the Gemara's case? So the Balei Tosfos, the Baruch HaKodesh, figured out this new principle called Sfeik Sfeik of Shem Echad not being effective. Comes into Tumas Hadeshim and says, yes, the Balei Tosfos are right, but it's not always true. It's only true when it's an absolute, exact Shem Echad. So Shem Echad, by definition, means the halachic outcomes of both Svaras Lahokel have to be identical. If there's any minuscule difference between the two, that doesn't meet the criteria of Shem Echad. If it's not Shem Echad, then we fall back on Sveik Sveika. So that's what the Trumas Hadeshin writes. That's what the Shach and Kloli Sveik Sveika calls him Trumas Hadeshin. This, not really correlated, but this is a limitation of the Baalei HaTosis Klal. So again, so we started out with a Sveik Sveika. The Baalei HaTosis limited the principle of Sveik Sveika. The Trumas Hadeshin is limiting the limitation of the Baalei HaTosis. So we're back to square one. If the limitation doesn't apply, so then the Sveik Sveika is back to life. So that's what the Shach quotes from the Trumas Hadeshin, that whenever the Bei Shemes are not identical, one's Mafi, Yosef, and Chavero, that's not considered to be a Shem Echad. Oh, that's right. If it was a boy and a girl, l'chora, that would be a classic, that would be a problem of Shem Echad. So the Trumas Hadeshin goes and says, even that's mutter. Why? It is already a way beyond the scope right now. This is a b'chor shayla. What's the pshat when you have a female firstborn? Is a female firstborn not a b'chor b'chlal? It's not even nitfas on a shem b'chor? Or it's a b'chor with a hetna because it happens to be in the keva. Very lumdish shayla. So the Trumas Hadeshin assumes it has a din of b'chor to it. It's a b'chor that happens to be mutter. It's a b'chor without kedushim. It's a shame b'chor. So the Trumas Hadeshin claims that lumdus will affect the sveik sveik also. That's already a chiddush. That already other achrayim question. So if you take a look at the Shach Kloy sveik sveik, he quotes this. The Trumas Hadeshin was mati even in the case when it's a boy and a girl. That's a very, very, very b'chorish tikkun of Trumas Hadeshin. No,
according to Rashi, why can't you say that both these before Bob and Ben should be mutter? Because L'chora is a rove that this person is not.
No, but now you're using a Sveik Sveika in a case of a tie to the Sasserate. One of the Sveikas you're being Celsius yourself.
So that's another.
That's another possible. That's another problem in Hilchos Sveik Sveika. Yeah. Maybe another problem. Maybe. What are the applications of this Trumas Hadeshin? How far can we take this Trumas Hadeshin? So I started off by saying that we want to talk Lamaisa. I mean, for Rabbi Wall, maybe this was Lamaisa, but for most of us, the Bechor, the Matarish, is not to Lamaisa. So what applications of Maisa do we have of this principle of the Trumas Hadeshin? So this may become the relevant Lamaisa in the following case. There is a din, we spoke a little bit about this in the Shabbos Chol Drasha, about the principle called Nosin Tam of Gam. The halacha is, whenever I have tray for food that begins to taste really bad, it starts to rot, and it reaches below the point of Nifsa Mechilas Adam, it's no longer considered to be tray. It's based on Pesukim and Chumash, the Sokol called Nevela, the Ger, Shem, Sherech, Tener, Vachola. Only a Nevela, really Ger, is Mutter. Only a Nevela, really Ger, is Mutter, is Asar. Any Nevela that's in a really Ger, the Goyim wouldn't get Toshiv, the Goyim wouldn't need it anymore, then it loses the status of the Nevela. So the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, there's a corollary of this principle, and that's in terms of blios, in terms of absorption of taste inside kalim. If I cook a very delicious tasting chazer in a pot, so then I'm not allowed to use that pot, because the pot now has blios of chazer in it. Says the Gemara, after 24 hours, whatever blios of chazer inside the walls of that pot, we assume we're not going to taste too good. It's already getting stale, it's getting rotten inside the walls of the pot. And if I subsequently cook potato soup in that pot, so the potato soup is mutter, because min haTorah la'asra k'teira, la'asra k'teira l'k'teira bas yoma, that the din of Parshas Matos, that you have to kasha kelim, that only applies within 24 hours of use of treifas. After 24 hours, we assume whatever taste there is nice in time of gam, and subsequently the food is mutter. That's what the Gemara says in Min haTorah. I'm allowed to use the pot. Min haTorah, there's nothing wrong with using a pot after 24 hours of using it for treifas. There's no need to kasher it. But the Rabbanan, you have to kasher it as a gezeira, because if you don't kasher it, the next time you're going to end up using it within 24 hours. So it's purely midrabban. The fact that we kasher kelim today, even after 24 hours of use, that's only midrabban. Min haTorah, the whole din of kashering kelim is only within 24 hours. So comes the Gemara and says in the second parak of Maseches Avodah Zarah, what if I have food that was cooked by a goy, cooked in his kelim, and I don't really know whether the kelim are within 24 hours or not. I have no idea when the goy. God doesn't remember. And even if he doesn't remember, he does have nemanos. So he cooked me up, so it wasn't bishlachim, so the Jews started the fire, cooked me up delicious potato soup, but he cooked it up in a pot that he has used in the past for chazir. So we don't know whether he's used that pot within the last 24 hours or not. What's the din? So the Gemara says, Stam kelim einu b'nei yoimen. Most of the Rishonim assume that, so we pass in Shulchan Aruch, we can assume the best case scenario. We can assume that the kelim were probably not the b'nei yoimen. Stam kelim einu b'nei yoimen. And therefore the food b'dieved is going to be kosher. Those who remember the story about the girl from Menzies Y who called me up with a frantic shayla, that her grandmother had cooked, had made a turkey in a pan, in a pot, and the pan had been used for Mamash Retrafus in the past. So I said, Afal Bichain, Stam Kelim Enem Bnei Yoimen. Unless you know that the Kelim are used within the last 24 hours, you can assume the Kula and everything's alright. Stam Kelim Enem Bnei Yoimen, that's what appears in Shulchan Aruch. So comes the Rosh in the second paragraph of Avodah Zarah and asks, why is that true? How did Chazal figure that out? Why should that be true? Isn't that a suffix? If you use a kli within 24 hours and you cook food in it, so the resulting food is also ben haTorah, that's for sure, it is a deraisa. So how can we just close our eyes to the reality that maybe it was cooked within the last 24 hours? So what led Chazal, the Ruach HaKadosh, to say, Stam Kelim Ein B'nayim? How do you know? So comes the Rosh and says, the stam of the answer to this question is that it's a Sfeik Sfeika. Because if it would just be a Sufik Echad, that would be a problem. Sfeika deraisa. The Chumra, using tray for Kelim would be a Nisa deraisa within 24 hours. That's Parshas Matos. So it must be there's some kind of a Sfeik Sfeika here. So the Rosh is trying to reconstruct what the Sfeik Sfeika is. Says the Rosh, here's the Sfeik Sfeika. It's a suffix whether the pot was used within 24 hours or not. Okay, that's one suffix. And even if the Talmud was used within 24 hours, it's not always going to be a problem. Why? Because there is a din of nice in time of gam. There is a din that any time treif for food tastes bad, then it's not considered to be treif anymore. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, treif for food tasting bad can happen one of two ways. Either the food itself rotted, let's have a piece of chaz that's sitting out in the sun for a while, it becomes mamish rotten to the core, rotten through and through. No normal human being would eat it. That's called nosan tam of gam. And says the Gemara, also in Avodah Zarah, what if I have tray for food that itself is really not bad? It tastes pretty good. But if I mix it into the kosher food, this particular recipe is horrible. I take some very unique tasting chazer, and I put it into something which doesn't call for that taste of chazer. It's going to taste terrible. So if somebody goofed on the recipe, that's also called nosan tam of gam. So even though the kosher food itself tastes good, and the treif food itself tastes good, the combination of the two is horrible, it's miserable. No human being would ever eat such a terrible tasting food. So that's also called nosan tam of gam. So comes the Rosh and says that there's a chance that this pot was used within the last 24 hours. It's possible it was used for chazer. It's possible it was used for neveil. It's possible it was used for chelev. I don't really know. It's a suffix, so I should have to be mach b'suffix the rice l'chumra. But I'm cooking potato soup here, and I don't know what the interaction between 10 hours ago's taste and the food that I'm cooking is. It could be this particular interaction that happens to be bad. So again, if I would know for a fact that I haven't cooked any chazer in it for 24 hours, then by definition, it would be mutter, because any chaz that's sitting in the walls of a pot for more than 24 hours, that's what the Torah says. That's no sentam of gam. The end of Avodah Zarah. So if I would know for a fact that it's a no sentam of gam, that it's an Eina Ben Yomo, then it would be mutter based on Eina Ben Yomo. But even if it's a Ben Yomo, it's still possible that it's mutter, because maybe the interaction between whatever yummy, delicious taste is still within the walls of the pot, it's just not interacting well with this particular food that I'm cooking, and maybe that's also mutter al tnais and tam of gam. So the Rosh says that must be what prompted Chazal. It must be the combination of these two sfeikas that created the head to call stam kelim and bnei yomim. That maybe it's a tnais and tam of gam because it's more than 24 hours, or maybe even if it's within 24 hours, maybe it's a tnais and tam of gam because of the interaction of these particular tastes. So comes the shach and jumps on the Rosh and says, wait a second, says the shach, this is classic Shem Echad. Said, what's the heter? The heter is Nois and Tam of Gam. These are two ways of repackaging Nois and Tam of Gam.
Not necessarily. It's not complete.
What?
Very simple. But if you hold 24 hours, so anything.
Yeah, you're answering the question already. You're already answering the question. It's not a kasha because I already cheated. I told you the klal of the Truma Sedeshim beforehand. But the Shach was looking at this Rosh and says, wait a second, I'm reading this Rosh, and the Rosh is telling me that it's mutter because it's Nosin Tam of Gam. So let's say over the Sfeik Sfeika, says the Shach, it's mutter because it's Nosin Tam of Gam. And even if it's Tzolom, it's not Nosin Tam of Gam, it's mutter because it's Nosin Tam of Gam. Says, Ein Lecha Shem Becha Golem Mizeh. These are just two different ways of describing Nosin Tam of Gam. Either it's Nosin Tam of Gam because of 24 hours, or it's Nosin Tam of Gam because of the interaction of these two foods. So says the Shach, Ein Lecha Shem Becha Golem Mizeh. So says the Shach, I was thinking about this Rosh, and then I realized what the answer is. The answer must be, as the Chorin said, the answer must be what the Shumas Adeshin said, that this appears to be Shem Echad, but it's not quite Shem Echad, because this is a classic example of Sofek Echad, Mati Yosef Bechavero. If we're going with the root of 24 hours, that's the head there, so then 24 hours is Mati across the board. Any food that I cook, almost any, except for the Bechor, that's a really different story. Any food that I cook in a pot that hasn't been used for treifas for 24 hours is going to be mutter. Whether it's potato soup, whether I'm cooking an egg, whether I'm cooking spinach, or whatever I'm cooking, everything's going to be mutter because Nosan Tam of Gam is a mutter across the board. But if the scope of the heter is based on the second heter, the second suffix, namely, well, maybe it's within 24 hours, but the particular interaction of this food, maybe lefgam, that's a whole different story. That would be very, very limited in scope. That means we would be mata this particular food How do I know to be matter another food? What if I would know for a fact that the other food does interact well with the previous taste? Then I would have to aser it. So that's already a different scope of a heter. Oh, it's a different scope of a heter. It's a different conclusion of a heter. One suffix is all-encompassing, and one suffix is partially. That's called the Beis Shemus already. That's Mamash's name. It's a Trumas Hadeshin. So just as the Trumas Hadeshin said that the suffix echad of maybe the animal gave birth 3 years ago is matter everything, but the suffix of maybe it gave birth to the twins, or it gave birth to the other baby 3 minutes ago, would only, the scope of that heter would only be vis-a-vis one animal, not vis-a-vis both animals. Those are two different scopes of a teruv. One is a matir legamri, one is a partial matir. The fact that they're different, the scope of the heter is different, overrides the problem of shem echad, and now it's considered to be beis shemus. Now it's back in business of sveik sveik. So the shach says that's exactly what the rush is driving at by Nesset Tam of Tam as well. So now, based on this, we can now go back to a famous fake faker that we spoke about in Hilchos Nida. We have to go back to something we spoke about already a year and a half ago. That was the famous fake faker of the Ramo. So if you remember, just to refresh your memories for a moment, when you have a woman who has a macha, and we know any dam that comes out of the macha is mutter, any dam that comes from the uterus, of course, is going to be Hilchos Nida. If it comes naturally from the uterus, it doesn't come from a macha. So what do you have a situation where we have a macha, but we're not sure that this macha actually bleeds? Means we know the doctor's looking at the macha, they see something fishy, something's going on there, but I can't tell you for sure that the blood is coming from this macha. I can't say this is the type of macha that bleeds. Is that a macha or not? Can she assume that any blood that comes is relying on that macha? So that was a machlekes of Rishon, machlekes the Rashba and the Mordechai. So the Ramah's machma from the Mordechai, that even though she knows that she has a macha, but if she can't say for certain that this macha is a type of macha that bleeds, so it's only a suffix, it's not a badol, so a suffix deed is l'chumra, suffix derais is l'chumra. So comes the Ramah and says, but I'm willing to be make those follows. Even though I'm machmer, that if it's a suffix macha, suffix dam macha, suffix dam nida, that's a problem. But if we're not sure whether the blood is coming from the mokma, whether it's coming from the tznadim, maybe it's coming from out of the uterus entirely. I mean, she has a macha inside the uterus, may or may not be bleeding. And we're not even sure the blood's coming from the uterus. Maybe it's coming from the surface. Maybe it's coming from the tznadim. It's coming from the outside area. So that's called the sveik sveik, says the Rabbah. Suffolk, whether it's coming from the tznadim or whether it's coming from the mokma. And even if it's coming from the mokma, or maybe it's coming from the macha, the mokma, says the Rabbah, that's okay. That's all right. So comes everybody and jumps on the Ramah and says, "Ein l'cha shem echad gadol mizeh." What you're basically saying is, maybe it's dam nida, or maybe it's dam macha. And what's the second suffix? Maybe it's dam nida, and maybe it's dam macha. You just restated the same dam macha. It's like saying, maybe it's dam nida, maybe it's dam macha from macha number one. Maybe it's dam nida, maybe it's dam macha from macha number two. You just drew two possible machas. Maybe the macha's in the mokah, maybe the macha's in the tzodim. It's the same math here. Dam macha is the same math, no matter where the macha is. So come the Acharonim and say the Ramah's not right. How can the Ramah call this a sveik sveika? It's a classic violation of Shem Echad. So comes the Neid of Yehuda and says, no, it's not true. Comes in the Yehuda and says, this is not considered to be a Shem Echad. You know why this is not a Shem Echad? Based on the Trumas Hadeshen. What's the Trumas Hadeshen? What's the ramification of the Trumas Hadeshen? If it's Damanat Stodin, Damanat Stodin is Bechlal not Damnidus. Damanat Stodin is like a woman cut her fingers, her nose is bleeding. Damanat Stodin has zero relevance at all. A woman has a irritation in the cervix, that's nothing to do with the Makor. It's a different part of the body, the Gamre. So that's like a nosebleed. So there's absolutely zero halachic ramifications of Damanat Stodin. But Damanat Makash of Makor does have halachic ramifications. The Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Tita, Machlokes HaTanoim, but dam that came for the macha and the mokor does not make the woman a nida. That's true, because it's not from the mokor itself, but that dam is tamei. That dam has the status of dam nida vis-a-vis tumu v'tara, not the gabi, it's not matame the woman, but the dam itself is tamei. The Mishnah says a nida, dam nida is one of the avos tuma. So according to one day in the Gemara, mokor mekomo tamei. Any blood that emanates from the mokor, even though it doesn't emanate naturally from the mokor, it's emanating from a makash of the mokor, although vis-a-vis the gavra of the woman does not become tamei tumas nida, and the woman does not become a surah labayla, but if the dam itself falls on a piece of clothing, that dam is matame the clothing. It's considered to be dam nida vis-a-vis the dam itself. Vis-a-vis the woman it's not, but vis-a-vis the dam itself it is. It's not. So says the Neid of Yehuda, that changes everything. That changes the entire equation. Why? Now the two sveikas are different from one another. If the suffix is it's dominant studin, if it's dominant studin, the scope of that heter are across the board. It's all encompassing heter. That means it's nafkamin is the woman is muteres, the dam is tar. Everything is great. That's the greatest heter in the world. If the heter is only that maybe it's been a makah shebemokor, that's a much more limited scope of heter. That's only enough kamina lagabe the woman, not enough kamina lagabe the dam itself. Oh, it's a different heter. It's a different scope of heter. So you have a suffik yechad matir yosef mechaveh, right? So since the suffik of daven atzad that is matir more encompassing than the suffik of makah shebemokor, so that by definition we fall back into the sfeik sfeika category. We've removed the psul, so to speak. We've removed the limitation of shebechad, and we're back in business again. That's the Yehuda Shtibel Torah within the Ramah. So a koparim, what we have today is, we have the basic principle of Sveik Sveika. We have Tosfos' limitation of Sveik Sveika, that Shemechad is a problem. Within Tosfos' limitation, through Mesadeshin, limited the limitation. When Safek Echad Mathias Mechaveiro, that's called the Sveik Sveika again. And we had a few examples of that. We have the original case in through Mesadeshin's Bechor. We had the case of the Rosh, Legab Bekelim, of Stam Kelim Enim Neyemen. And now we have the Nedvihudus Pshat and the Ramah, vis-a-vis Hilchos Nida. So we see that in Hilchos Kashiras, in Hilchos Nida, in Hilchos Bechiras, this Shaila becomes critical. Whenever you analyze Sveik Sveika, you have to always ask yourself, am I in a rut of a Sveik Sveika B'Shem Mechad? Or can I somehow get out of that rut by calling it a Safek Echad Matthias Mechaveira? Hopefully, Hashem, the next year, we'll try this again. Next Sunday, I won't be able to say Shia. The following Sunday, we'll be back in business.